Invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. I want to just take this opportunity to thank you for your prayers and notes of encouragement, texts, and so forth, the 4 weeks that we were with my brother. You may wonder what we did in those 4 weeks. I was involved in working on projects that Lamar had really wanted to get done before his passing, things from working on the house to getting land sold to coordinating the sellout of his business. And Margaret kind of took over the household responsibilities, sewed Dot a dress, lined a casket with fabric, and putting a picture PowerPoint together for the visitation, and just being Dot's brains at times. Dot and I were Lamar's primary caregivers, and meeting with hospice nurses, turning him in bed while crying out in pain, giving medications. And the last 6 nights I spent at his bedside. But seeing a daily decline, you know, we were there for 4 weeks, and we thought he was low when we got there. But every day we saw a decline. Took its toll emotionally, and probably seeing him and the pain he was in was the hardest part of it. But the last morning, Each morning I would read a passage of Scripture to him. And the last week and a half, I'm not sure how much he actually comprehended. But the last morning, several hours before he passed, I read John chapter 11. And I had prayer that he could experience the resurrection that Jesus talked about into heaven. And several hours later, he took his last breath. So this morning, I'd like to point out some things here in John 11 that I've learned that should give us hope for another new year. You know, a year ago, I think I had a message that I entitled something about Vision for 2020. I didn't look back to see what my exact title was. But we've had a turbulent year. But we have future hope. And I've entitled the message, Eternal Hope. You know, in this chapter, Lazarus died physically. Jesus raised him physically. There's something much greater than that ahead for us. I'd like to read John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, this could possibly be the most remarkable miracle that Jesus did. Raising a man that's been dead for 4 days, starting to decay. And I think that especially since in the 4 weeks that we spent with my brother, trying our best to make him comfortable. And we couldn't even do that. And Jesus could raise the dead. And we see in verse 2 that it was the same Mary that had anointed Jesus' feet with ointment. It was her brother Lazarus that was sick. But in verse 5, Mary is not even mentioned. And I don't have an explanation for that, but it would be like me talking about my three children, and I would say Jenny and her sister and Ryan. That's in essence what happened here. It does say in verse 3 that the sisters called for Jesus because of their brother, the one Jesus loved, who was sick. It was natural for them to bring their need to Jesus. You know, if he miraculously met the needs of others, many others, they thought surely he would meet their need as well. And Mary and Martha did not specifically ask Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. They were thinking all they had to do was make the need known, and he would do it. He would take care of it. You see, Jesus could heal from a distance. He didn't have to be there in person. But Jesus said in verse 4, "This sickness is for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified." And so Lazarus was already dead when Jesus said that. But he knew the end result would be the glory of God, not death. And Jesus also knew that the events recorded here in this chapter would make the religious leaders even more determined to kill him. This meant the Son of God may be glorified in his death, but also in his resurrection. And so Jesus' delay in going was not a denial of a need, but simply to bring more glory to God. John reminds us that Jesus did genuinely love these sisters and her brother, their brother. They mentioned all three individually and stressed the love for each of them individually. He didn't simply love the family. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus as individuals. And this friendship love is not agape. He loved them as close friends. And he was moved to hear the news. And it seems strange that Jesus didn't act on this great need right away. The delay probably puzzled many people, the disciples, and I'm sure Martha and Mary agonized over that. It seems that Jesus deliberately waited until Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. In John's gospel, there are three times when someone dear to Jesus asked him for something. And Jesus at first, in each case, refused to grant the request. And then he did it after showing that he does things according to God's timing and will, not man's. And then through his action, Jesus showed that his delays were not denials, but they were to bring glory to God. And so in verse 7, he says, "Let's go to Judea." Now, Judea was a dangerous place for Jesus because of the opposition from the religious leaders. But Jesus was willing to go in spite of the warnings from his disciples. And the disciples were shocked that he would go to Judea, where he was a wanted man. He was on the hit list. And Jesus simply replied, "Are there not 12 hours in a day?" Now, that's kind of a mystery. But what Jesus meant was that he still had work to do. The 12 hours was a way of referencing the time allotted by God for the earthly work of Jesus. And there's practical applications to that wise statement. Nothing can shorten our time When our time is here, it's here. There's enough time for everything that needs to be done. And we only have that much time, so we must not waste it. Jesus is saying that a man must finish the day's work within the day, because the night comes when the work ends. And for Lamar, the night has come. The day's opportunities are gone. But there are but 12 hours in a day. So get done what God has sent you here to do. Jesus knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. Ours will as well. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Verse 11. Jesus said that Jairus' daughter was asleep. At the end of Stephen's stoning, we're told that he fell asleep. But here he says, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. He could be glad because he was certain of the outcome. Jesus often allows us to pass into deeper darkness, deeper pain, in order to prove his power more perfectly. And Jesus came to Judea 4 days after they buried Lazarus. 4 days. Verse 16, Thomas is saying, well, guys, we might as well go and die with him. It's said that Thomas looked a lot like Jesus. And in fact, he was sometimes mistaken for Jesus. And so going back to Judea, he knew his own risk. Jews in that day had two names. Notice here, Thomas called Didymus. One was a Hebrew name that was used in his own inner circle. The other was a Greek name that was used in the wider circle. So Thomas is the pessimistic one in the group of disciples. Here he's saying, if Jesus is going to die, we might as well die with him. There's no future for us. And we see that when they get there, Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. Now, there was a superstition. This may explain why Jesus waited the 4 days. But there's a superstition in that day that a soul stayed near the grave for 3 days, hoping to return to the body. And so it was accepted that after 4 days, there was absolutely no hope of resuscitation. And then verse 19, many Jews had come to spend this time with Mary and Martha. They were there to give support at a time of death. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was there, she goes out and she meets him. But Mary was in the house. And note what Martha said. Lord, verse 21, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She stated her disappointment in Jesus' late arrival. She believed that Jesus was able to heal her brother while he was still alive. But was Jesus really going to be able to raise him from the dead? After 4 days, death was no stronger to Jesus than the sickness. But they didn't realize that. In their mind, death was unconquerable. And so Martha was not confident that Jesus would raise her brother. Instead, she said that she would still trust Jesus in spite of her disappointment. Note that friends of Jesus, even today, are not exempt from the sorrows of life. Jesus said in verse 23, your brother will rise again. Martha's reply, yeah, right. I know he's going to rise again in the final resurrection. So Martha had confidence that Lazarus would rise with the righteous, but she didn't even consider that Jesus may raise him from the dead. And what Martha was focused on was the physical life. And yet Lazarus was far better off dead physically, knowing there would be a spiritual resurrection, than he was being resurrected physically. Jesus dramatically said that he is the resurrection and the life. To know Jesus is to know resurrection and life. To have Jesus is to know resurrection and life. And apart from Jesus, there is neither resurrection nor life. And so Jesus is saying to Martha, is it not just as easy for me to raise him up physically right now than to raise him spiritually at the last time? Those that believe in Jesus Christ appear to die, but yet they live. They are not in the grave. They are forever with the Lord. They are not unconscious. They are with their Lord in paradise. Death cannot kill a believer. It can only usher him into a freer form of life. And Jesus does not mean that the believer will not die physically. Lazarus was dead even then. Millions of Jesus' followers have died since. But he means that he will not die in the sense in which death has eternal significance. Death comes to the ungodly man as a penal infliction, but to the righteous it's a summons to his Father's palace. To the sinner it's an execution, to the saints an undressing. And so death to the wicked is the king of terrors. Death to the saint is the end of terrors and the commencement of glory. And then Jesus makes an enormous claim. He says, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Only God could say that and be truthful. And then Jesus challenges Martha with the question, do you believe this? And that was a challenge, not a debate. It was a challenge to believe. She had to believe Jesus was who he said he was, and that he could do what he said he could do. And so Martha answered correctly. Jesus was. He is indeed the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus was and is God in human form among us, the Son of God. And you know, in Martha's statement there in verse 27, it is the most powerful statement of faith by an individual recorded in the book of John. And then Martha slips away to where Mary is and tells Mary that the master or the teacher has come. And Jesus was not just a teacher. He was the teacher. Mary arose quickly. She came to Jesus. And note that she said in verse 32 exactly what Martha had said in verse 21. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I would love to hear the tone of their voices. I think the tone of their voice would explain what they were really saying. It could be a statement of faith, saying that had Jesus been there, they had no doubt that he would have healed him. On the other hand, it could also have been criticism for what seemed to be tardiness on Jesus' part. We don't know. We didn't hear their tone of voice. But either way, the grief and the tears of Mary and Martha moved Jesus. And even today, God sees the tears of the grief-stricken, and he's moved with compassion. God sees our tears. He's touched by our tears. He remembers our tears. He acts to dry our tears. And there's an important contrast between the tears of Mary here and the tears of Jesus. Mary's is described as weeping. And the word used there describes a loud wailing. And for Jesus, it says, he wept. It indicates a quiet weeping. Jesus was greatly moved, but he was not out of control. Jesus wept, which shows us that Jesus was truly man. There is no sin or shame in tears. It shows us that Jesus was acquainted with grief, that he was not ashamed of his humanity, and that he identified with others in their sorrow. Jesus loved people. Now, others in Scripture also wept. We read of Abraham weeping when he buried Sarah. Jacob wept when he wrestled the angel. David and Jonathan wept together. Hezekiah wept over his sickness. Josiah wept over the sin of his nation. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Verse 37, they said, could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? Again, they were focused on preventing the death. And so when he told them, roll away the stone, they were horrified. By now he stinks. And maybe they passed it off that Jesus wanted to have one more look at this person he loved so dearly. But what Jesus was really after, he wanted them to see the glory of God. And we see that Jesus dealt with Martha in steps intended to stretch and to build her faith. Verse 23, Jesus gave her a promise. Verse 25 and 6, he drew attention to himself. And verse 27, he called on her to confess her faith. And in verse 40, Jesus called on her to act on her faith. And verse 43, after praying to God, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out, come forth. And the term or the phrase cried with a loud voice simply means the loud, decisive tone of authority. The loud voice was not needed for the dead to hear, rather so that the crowd could know that there was no work of magic, but that it was the very power of God. And you know, had Jesus not said Lazarus' name, every dead person would have raised. Jesus spoke to a dead body as if Lazarus was alive, because he is God. And note how brief and direct the words were. Lazarus, identifying a person. Come forth, giving clear instructions. And he that was dead came out, hands and feet bound with grave clothes, face wrapped in a napkin. So really he couldn't move freely and he couldn't see. But you know what? Lazarus was not resurrected. He was resuscitated. He came out of the grave bound in grave clothes because he was going to need them again. He was going to die again. In that sense, he was resuscitated. Jesus left his grave clothes behind when he resurrected from the grave. Jesus is never going to need his again. That's why he left them. That's resurrection. Now, how Lazarus moved about, we don't know. Jesus didn't miraculously remove the grave clothes. Rather, he asked his attendants to remove them. Earlier, he had asked them to move the stone away. And what that tells me is that Jesus wants to involve us in his work. He wants to involve his people in getting his message out, his work done. And we see here that this miracle causes two different reactions. In verse 45, we see the reaction of faith. Many of the Jews believed on him. Verse 46 to 48, we see the religious leaders were worried. We see the words and the works of Jesus dividing humanity between those that believe and those that don't. First, they opposed Jesus because they weren't convinced he was the Messiah. And then they opposed him because they were convinced he was the Messiah. They admitted the miracles, but look at how they treated the miracle worker. They denied him. They opposed him. They were afraid of his influence on the people. And so, what does 2021 look like to us who believe in Jesus? Is there eternal hope? You know, I think by now we have concluded there is little in this life we can place our hope in. Regardless what happens this year, in this life, we can have eternal hope if we know Jesus. And as I read that chapter to Lamar, I came to realize Lazarus was raised from the dead only to live longer in this sin-cursed world. But it did bring God glory. Who would want that? Who of us wants for our life to be extended? You know, for Lamar and for all of us who know Jesus, we can look forward to an eternal resurrection that gives us an eternal hope. And so, in spite of what's happening, put your hope in Christ. And my prayer for each of us is that we would have a great year with our hope in Jesus Christ. Regardless what happens to us, we may die today yet, but we have an eternal hope. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the eternal hope that we can have. This life here is but a short blink of eternity. And Father, it's riddled with so much chaos and destruction and evil because of our evil human nature. Because of what happened back in the garden, we all have that in us. But Father, through your Son, we have hope. We have eternal hope. And Father, I just pray that every person under the sound of this word would be able to claim that and to live the coming days, whatever days you allocate for us, that we would live them with faithfulness, with hope, with vigor, and we would just be able to display Christ's character in our own lives as we go from day to day and we rub shoulders with those who have no hope, that they too would come to know you. So, Father, it's in your name that we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.